Jesus. Aloha, mud babies, pod people, and inhabitants of the planet Earth. It is I, your tiki leader, Steve Mudflap McGrew, back for another episode of Remasculate. Thanks for joining us again today. I know it's been a while since the last podcast. I got out on the road. I've been working cruise ships and doing comedy clubs and actually just staying really, really busy. But today, I'm so happy to be back because I'm back with a guest that you guys love and ask for often. It will be Gavin McInnes today. Gavin will be the guest, and it's going to be a show like no other. Because the political climate right now is crazy. The world is going crazy, and everybody's going crazy with the Trump-Hillary thing, and what's going to happen, and who's going to win, and how will America survive, and what does the world think of us, and does the world... And here to discuss all of that and more is Gavin McInnes. Gavin, I want to tell you, we've been trying to hook up this morning, Skype problems. I'd Skype him, no answer. He'd Skype me. I miss a call. I text him. All right, let's try to get together. All right, let's do it now. Hold on. He'd write back. Hold on, I got a thing. I say, okay, I'm going to grab a cup of coffee. I'll be right back. And this went on for a few minutes. And finally, it connected and starts here.
Hey, man, I was just texting you saying, fuck it, let's not do it anymore.
Sometimes this Skype thing just drives me crazy.
Yeah, nothing works. I mean, my heating is on 75 in this house. I can't get it down. I've got my Street Fighter game downstairs broken, and I've got these guys in Missouri saying, just test each switch in the game, and when you find the one that doesn't work, go in the order of the black jumper wire and then find your brake, run a jumper past it. And I'm like, I'm not a fucking electrician, dude.
So you're one of those guys that, like myself, you need somebody to come do it. Don't just tell me to do it.
Well, that's the problem with these stupid 80s, 90s video games is that no one wants to come out there to fix it because it's not worth their time. And there's, you know, no one is within 50 miles.
Oh. But other than that, how are you?
I'm in a shitty mood.
So is America.
Yeah, what's going on?
Welcome back. I want to start. We have Gavin McInnes back. You know, this is the third time. You are the most requested guest on the show.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, but you know that. It's happening for you all around everywhere. You're going to do Steven Crowder's show later, right?
That is correct. In an hour. In 50 minutes.
Yeah. Love that guy, too.
He's great.
So y'all don't butt heads about anything really then?
Oh, yeah. He hates Trump. He was a cruise man. He's very clean. he doesn't like all these big swear words. And, you know, he's never really he's never done drugs and anything like that.
He waited for sex till he got married.
Yeah. He's pretty old fashioned, I guess.
But how could he be so conservative if he's not with Trump these days then?
Yeah, I really don't get it. I mean, these guys, Glenn Beck was saying, it's either putting a baby in a blender or putting a baby in the microwave. I don't want to do either. And it's like, no, a baby is going to one of those things. So you have to choose which one might not kill it. It's more like a baby going near a blender or a baby going near a microwave. And one of them, we've already seen what happens to the baby because she's been in office for 30 years, so there's no questions there. And then the other one is a maybe. We don't know how Trump, as John Derbyshire said, he might break our hearts. So there's definite risk there. But with Hillary, it's a definite. We've seen what she does.
Right.
And these guys go, it's like two incompetent people. They're asking me if I want to hire them for the job. And I go, I don't want either of these people. They're incompetent. And I go, no, dude. Someone has said one of these guys has to work at your place. Has to. Neither of them is not a possibility. I'm so sick of this. Neither. Who do you support? Neither. It's called an ultimatum.
You don't have a choice,
you spoiled brat. It's like these fucking guys when their mother gets a new boyfriend, they go, you're not my dad. Yeah. Okay, your dad's gone. All right, I don't know what happened with him. Maybe he died. But this is your mom's new boyfriend. Get over it. And if you're five years old and he has a curfew, I'm afraid you got to follow that curfew. Sorry. That sucks. And isn't that so much of the left? They're like petulant brats.
They're such children. And that's one thing I don't understand, how the thinking these days of lawlessness with her. You know, why is it okay that she's done all this stuff? And I came up with this idea the other day. All the millennials are so used to ripping CDs, you know, MP3s, and sharing, and free movies off of LimeWire or whatever, that they get so used to crime doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And they also, they've never been entrepreneurs, so they don't revere entrepreneurship. They go, oh, Trump declared bankruptcy. I don't like the way he made his millions. Okay, go make $1,000. Go start a pool cleaning service and try to make $1,000 in pool cleaning commissions after you've paid your employees, dealt with those taxes, dealt with all their stupid rules. I mean, starting any business on the books these days is a fucking nightmare. And to sit there and go, yeah, he's a lame entrepreneur. It's like me scoffing, like, I don't like Dinosaur Rock. I don't like Steely Dan or, you know, CCR or any of that old 70s. Actually, I like a lot of it, but it wasn't my cup of tea for a long time. And Steely Dan, I mean, a lot of my neighbors are obsessed with him, and I just go, I don't hear it. But I don't sit there and I go, yeah, I don't like the way he plays guitar. He screwed up that chord, or you know, his amp sucks, and he's incompetent because I can't play guitar. But the way these people talk about entrepreneurs, and it's clear that not only could they not own a pool cleaning service, they never cleaned pools. And I've always said they lost their economic libido when illegal aliens did all their jobs. And now they just go, this corporation can afford to give me free shit. This corporation can afford – they make hundreds of millions. And you go, yeah, but it's not that simple. Like McDonald's, they go, all I'd have to do is charge a few more cents and they could pay their employees $15 an hour, maybe 10 more cents on a Big Mac. And you go, dummy. Okay, this place, McDonald's, has been around since the 1950s. You don't think they've calibrated the exact perfect cost of the Big Mac by trying 10 cents lower, 10 cents higher, monitoring supply and demand? They've gone up on Big Macs, and it's hurt sales. So they go down on Big Macs, but then they need more money to pay all their bills. So they get it to this perfect equilibrium, and then you want to jump in, you who've never even had a lemonade stand, and go, yeah, that burger's got to go up in price. They just think money's infinite because they've never touched it with their bare hands.
Yeah, they've never had to make it. Now, what do you think the whole concept of the minimum wage? You know, you can't live on this. You can't. Why can't they grasp the fact it was never meant to live on?
Yeah, exactly. It's meant to be training. I mean, look at McDonald's. You've mastered it in about a week. And I mean, you've mastered it in a day, but you really are on top of your game in a week. I met a guy the other day, and he used to work at McDonald's, and then he worked his way up, and then now he owns his own chain. And, you know, he did it in about 20 years. And I said, oh, that's impressive. You know, blue collar guy, came out of the hood.
Yeah.
And then about a week later, I was thinking, wait a minute, 20 years? I feel like I could master that in a few months, maybe a year. I could have my own McDonald's. I mean, it's a pretty simple system that they've figured out there. And this idea that a grown man comes home and hangs his fry hat on his coat hook by the front door and says, hi, honey, I'm home. Aren't you embarrassed?
What does your dad do?
It's a shitty job. I mean, it's for immigrants who barely speak English. It's for ex-cons who are trying not to murder someone. And it's for teenagers. Sometimes they're all three at the same time. You'll see some weird Congolese dude serve your burger and he's got a hand tattoo. And you think, what the hell was going on over there before you came here?
Well, that's how it was when I was a kid. That was the only people that worked there were teenagers because, you know, you're 15, needed a job, or it was the old retirees. That were the only two choices when I was younger.
Yeah. And by the way, it's an amazing job for a kid. Kids think fast. They're resilient. They don't need any sleep. You show up there after partying all night and boom, you're hammering out 300 burgers. It was a perfect system before we decided to import all these illegals and say, no, you mow the lawns now. you do all this other stuff. And, you know, there's no future to that. The reason you have those kids flip burgers is so when you want to open a burger chain, you understand the chain of command. You know, there was a great documentary about Tower Records. I think it's called All Things Too Must Pass or something like that. This Too Must Pass.
Uh-huh.
And everyone that worked there, all the top brass, used to stock records, used to build shelves. The main guy who did all their ordering built shelves in the first Tower Records. So it might seem trivial to an outsider, but knowing how the shelves work, knowing how much wear and tear they have, knowing how many records should be in storage and how many should be out on the floor, that all helped them grow beautifully. And you're watching that movie and you go, it wasn't the advent of MP3s that killed this place. They already survived disco. They were a rock and roll store that survived disco. No, it was that they stopped hiring people from the ground up. And that's really the problem with America. We've stopped having people from the ground up. We outsourced that. We've outsourced, you know, motherhood. We got nannies coming in here and looking after our kids. And we don't learn when we do that. And we've become disconnected.
Yeah, I don't even think they teach or families teach kids to you need to work from the ground up. The whole attitude of, you know, get in the mail room and maybe one day you'll get an office is not even taught. You know,
and there's this myth too with Black America where they go, well, I could go and deliver a package for $500, or I work at McDonald's forever, and it takes me, you know, a week to make that kind of money, or 2 weeks of paycheck. And I'm no drug dealers. You're not going to get paid $500 to go deliver a package unless it's 10 kilos of cocaine in a car. You know, no one's going to give you $500 to go deliver a few grams. That's their profit margin gone. So dealing drugs is not that great.
Well, you
unless
know,
you're in the top 1-3%, you're one of the grunts making no money.
I had a conversation with an African American comic about this same thing. Was about, well, why would you want to bust your ass at McDonald's? This is so funny you brought this up, because why would you want to bust your ass at McDonald's when you could make more money selling drugs? And I go, how about the legality of it? How about the fact that it's morally wrong? How about the fact that, you know, you're destroying lives? And it never
– yeah. By the way, we all have access to that job. It's not like it's only in the hood.
Yeah.
You can deal cocaine anywhere you'd like.
Yeah. And so I was trying to explain the concept of what about just the whole moral of doing what's right and wrong and legal and not legal. And, you know, it was lost.
I did it. I dealt marijuana when I was a teenager. I got explosive diarrhea every time I saw a cop car near my house. Realized I can't handle this job anymore.
Yeah, that's the way I would be. I don't know how you would get past the fear of just not eating your product every time a ski rack went by, you know?
Yeah, it's petrifying. And that's why I'm not a criminal, because I can't do the time. I don't know how you don't rat out your friends when you're looking at a 25-year bid. So
yeah.
I don't do things where I'd have to not rat out my friends, because I can't handle that.
I'm so afraid I would just be that guy. A cop car pull up next to us, and I'd be like, he's got it!
It's kind of the bigotry of low expectations too when you say they flooded the hood with crack and you go, okay, well, don't do it. I live in New York City. I can get whatever I want in 10 minutes, heroin, crack, anything. I don't do it. The hangover from crack feels like chemotherapy. No thanks.
No, I'm not doing
that drug.
Well, the simple answers are so right and simple. It's kind of like when I keep hearing all this stuff about, you know, online bullying. Don't read it.
Yeah. Well, I'm at the point now where I had this sort of epiphany last week with these social justice warriors and women and everyone telling, you know, white males or Western civilization to move over. I saw this one woman, Julie Choi, C-H-O-I. She was at a small publisher's conference. She's holding a sign that says, sit down and let us abolish you. And what she meant was, white male patriarchy, move out of the way. We're way better. Your time is done now. I want to – and she's – by the way, she's holding a sign made by Western civilization. She's holding in a building designed and built by white men, blah, 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 blah. If we moved over and let her replace us, she'd have no infrastructure, no nothing. Anyway, I'm realizing, though, these people are just saying that. Like when your kids say they want Skittles for dinner.
Yes.
Deep down, they don't really want Skittles for dinner. They'd get sick. So it's almost like the white farmers in Rhodesia. They had back when it was Rhodesia, the Zimbabwe's Mugabe's war veterans went down there and just took all their land and said, "This is our land. We are taking this back from you. You have this tobacco plantation that is built on black slavery," which it wasn't. So we are going to take it. So they kill them all, behead them in the bathtub.
I remember that.
Take
yeah.
it over. And the crops just die. So it was in these war veterans. They weren't war veterans. That was just the name they used. It was in these fake war veterans' best interest to not take down the patriarchy. And that's the same with all these liberals today. And, you know, you have the proof is in the pudding. Every time we capitulate, they go, "Yeah, I didn't really – I don't really know what I was doing there." Like with pronouns, we go, "Okay, you know what? We will give you a third pronoun." And then we tune back in a week later and it's up to 10. And then we tune back in a week later and it's up to 50. It's up to 70. I think Facebook has 70 now. And you realize, oh, now I let you have Skittles for dinner. Now you're eating them for breakfast and lunch too. Now you have diabetes.
How is there even possible 70 choices? I mean, how is that? Do you just start making up shit as you go along?
It's like Islam too. Like we give them burqas. We give them Pakistan. You know, there you go. There's your own country. And women are getting caned for not wearing their burqa right. And you realize you're insatiable. You're a petulant brat. You're a spoiled kid. And if I give you an inch, you're going to take a mile. So now when they say move over and let us replace you, I just go, yeah, whatever. I mean, it's really so transparent, like the way these women say, "I'm a badass and I want to," you know, as men, we have this tendency to sort of go, "Yeah, okay, you're a badass. Let's try it out. And you can do it. Yay." And then you see them and you go, "What the fuck? Why did you insist on doing?" Like, look at the vote. We give them the vote. They go, "We want to vote." I'm actually secretly suspicious that was men. Saying,
really?
"Come on, get out there. You should get the vote." And the woman sort of went, "Really? Doesn't really, I don't know." They go, go, get the vote. And they went, "Oh, okay." So anyway, they get the vote. And what do? They vote for bigger government every time. They vote for hunks like Justin Trudeau because he seems cool.
Uh-huh.
They vote for Barack Obama because he's sexy. It's nothing to do with policy. Now they want to vote for Hillary because she's a woman.
A woman.
And if there's a chart that came out the other day, I forget who published it, but it's going viral, and it's America if only women voted, America if only men voted. And the only woman voted map is just Democrat coast to coast. And that's because I think genetically they have this sort of, you know, need to hug you and make you feel better. So when the government says, "I'm going to help this boy who skinned his knee and kisses boo-boos," they go, yeah, I like that government, the one that kisses boo-boos.
The boo-boo kissing government.
The big nanny boo-boo kisser. And you go, and then we're standing there going, "That's not a boo-boo. He just put jam on his knee. He'll be fine. In fact, it's better for him if he just gets up and gets back on the horse."
Well, the twisted sisterhood of the ones that won't, you know, back the females who like Trump. I think that is so odd. You know, like, "I can't believe any woman would vote for Trump." It's like, what happened to all your womanhood attitude?
Right. I thought she was an individual with a mind of her own.
Yeah.
Well, that's true with abortion, too. They go, "This guy's pro-life. He hates women." And you go, but 50% of women are pro-life. I don't understand. It's an argument about when life begins. Why are you turning it into a gender thing? And if you insist on making abortion legal, or I think Hillary is talking about 32 weeks now, which is pretty good looking little baby at 32 weeks. But if you're going to insist on making abortion legal, then what you're doing is you're telling 50% of women that they have to live in a society where an act is done that they consider murder. Isn't that an invasion of their sovereignty? I don't understand why it's a woman. They go, "Well, it's a woman's body, and I'm telling you that you're telling a woman what to do with her body." Yeah, I tell female bloods that they can't shoot Crips. That's me telling her what to do with her body. Sorry. Well, if Crips are encroaching on your territory in South Central, you may not kill them.
Well, I don't understand this whole concept of war on women, because I'm not against women. Most people I know aren't against women. What is the actual war itself? I mean,
I mean, if there's anything, there's a war on men.
That's what I would say. Because
and then they go, well, you're winning. And you go, yeah, yeah. Just because I'm winning doesn't mean that you're not out to get me. You know, there's a war on Christmas, but there's still Christmas. Yeah, I know. Christmas can handle it.
And
but
what
that doesn't mean you're not gnawing away at it.
And you will hear people say all the time, there is no war on Christmas. Yes, there is. There is. And the same thing I'll hear where I've had arguments with people about, well, there's, you know, the left wants to really take away guns. No, they don't, or they would have done that by now. You know, it's like they don't want to accept things until it actually happens. It has to be going on for their brain.
Yeah, and the guns is a great example of that because they go, if the government ends up taking your guns and they want to, you can't fight them. They're going to come in and bulldoze your house. And you go, yeah, if we get to the point where it's a full-on war with the government against the citizenry and they're coming over to my house with tanks, that's true. They will win. But all is lost at that point. What we're saying is we don't want the government regulating my guns out of my hands tomorrow. Well, no one's going to – okay, well then no, you're not going to have home invaders. How do you know I'm not going to have home invaders? And secondly, I like the idea of feeling safe. And thirdly, we would definitely have less home invaders if there was more, you know, understanding that the house you were breaking into is probably armed.
Yeah. Well, Australia, you know, had that big leap in home invasion after they got rid of guns. They did have a giant increase.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that come up before. I didn't know it was home invasions. But yeah, they say that with Britain too. They go, there's no crime there. Yeah, well, the crime rate is pretty low there when compared to Detroit or Chicago. I wonder what that common factor could be. But it did go up. It did go up after they banned guns.
Mm-hmm. And the whole thing of, you know, where I live here in Colorado, we had the school shooting.
Columbine.
They did a whole thing. It kept going on about the guns and the guns and the shooting and the guns and the gun. And I kept having to mention, you know, they had pipe bombs too. You know, they had pipe bombs too. It was never brought up. It was always the gun argument. And I go, but nobody's down at the plumbing supply saying outlaw PVC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, remember Chris Hayes after that last shooting, he said, thank God they didn't have a gun. And it was just a knife, a stabbing or whatever. And you go, really, Chris? How about the times they had bombs? How about the time they had two planes?
Yeah.
That was a pretty bad – and if you look at school attacks, I think the worst one in America's history was done with manure. It was back in, I think, the 1920s. And it was a guy who was mad about big government, big tax. And he had a meltdown and he killed a bunch of kids, 40 or something,
wow,
in this school. And he used, you know, one of these fertilizer bombs. They don't really hesitate. It's not like they're for want of methods. We just had, what, 80 killed in Nice using a truck?
A truck driving down the street.
I'm getting mad just talking about it. But it really is. I think my new epiphany, though, is when they say all that, you just sort of smile and go, yes, dear. I'll be handling the guns in this house. But, yeah, you can pretend that it's guns that are killing everyone. Sure.
Well, then how are we going to deal with the fact that nobody wants to accept these facts, even when we're looking at now what's the word I'm looking for? I'm trying to think of the terrorist attack is now never a terrorist. It's always a lone wolf or a psychological problem. So how do we start making America actually start saying, no, this is a terrorist attack?
Well, you know, another problem with terrorism that no one talks about is how we create them here. I'm not talking about our foreign policy. In the West, we have such a masochistic attitude, and that's especially true in school. We learn about how we built this country on slavery, and we took it from the Indians, and we're terrible,
right,
we're horrible. And the kids start going, sounds like we suck shit.
Uh-huh.
And when you have someone like the Tsarnaev brothers, who grew up pretty reasonably, you know, in Boston, they were normal kids. They start hearing America sucks, America sucks. And they go, actually, I come from a culture that says that all the time. Let me go back to Chechnya or Georgia, wherever it is, and go train and learn more about this. And so they go there and they go, yeah, your teachers are right back in America. It does suck. So then they go, let's blow it up. And the next thing, you know, we, as Marxists, these old fat teachers, these moms, these ugly aunts, are the ones who create these terrorists. And if you look at I looked at something like 10 – I wrote an article about this for Truth Revolt. I looked at 10 attacks since 9/11 in London and Canada and America, and I just kept finding normal kids. Like even in one of the bus bombings in London, it was a little Jamaican boy who had become a Muslim radical, and he was radicalized in London. In Canada, one of the guys, I think he was the one that, who shot the soldier, the World War II monument soldier in Ottawa. I think he was the son of a woman whose government job was to promote multiculturalism and diversity in Canada and assimilation, which she clearly is not doing a great job on. The guy who ran over a soldier in Quebec with his car was a white jock. You know, he's big fucking muscle bro who got into jihadism here in Canada after hearing all this anti-patriotism. So in an attempt to sort of make jocks and frat boys uncool, they actually made anti-Americanism uncool, and they created a vacuum where – The newest bullies just move in. So if you say frat boys are jerks, patriots are jerks, we have to be cool and un-American, then jihadists move in and go, hey, I'm un-American, I'll pick up the tab here. And the next thing you know, you're dominated by someone way worse. And that's what you get when you smash the patriarchy. You get replaced by someone that's way more patriarchal. And that is why I know that deep down, these liberals that say, move over and let us replace you and sit down and let us abolish you are really just talking. And they don't want it. I mean, these feminists talking about how cool the hijab is. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Put one on your head.
Yeah, all these wear that on the red carpet.
All these young male feminists talking about how stunning and hot Leslie Jones is. Isn't it? Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Go sleep with her if you love her so much, you liar.
Well, speaking of that.
They're all just virtue signaling.
Did you see today CoverGirl Makeup released the first cover boy?
Yeah. And that is nothing to do with that boy being a hot girl. That has everything to do with standing up and applauding when someone emasculates themselves. I mean, they have vasectomy parties now where you go there and you have a big cake. And instead of naming your kid, there's a marker and some notepads for help me name my boat, which is ironic because they say we're not having kids because they're too expensive. And then they say we're going to buy a boat with all our extra money. But in this Western culture today, not only do we celebrate the death of the West, but we celebrate vasectomy vasectomies. And we go, yay, this man chopped his balls off. Yay, he can't reproduce. Yay, let's have a party and bake a fucking cake. Similarly, when some homosexual teenager starts prancing around and goes, I'm a girl, I'm a girl. We get up and we go, yay, another one down. Another, you know, mark on the bedpost against masculinity. And you go, I know you feel empowered doing all this, but you realize you're just sort of fast-forwarding your own demise here. Because
we
do it better than anyone else.
That whole thing about the demise is something that I've been thinking about too, because the other day there was a whole deal about the topless day. Did you see about that?
Yeah. No, I didn't. I know in New York they keep pushing to make being topless legal, which is funny because it is.
It's already legal?
It's already totally legal. So these women march up and down the street with their tits out, and everyone goes, awesome, your tits look great, dummy. It's like the bra burning. We're not going to wear any bras anymore, so we want our tits to flop around. Good.
Sweet.
I can't wait.
Sweet. But this article that I read said that what they wanted to do it because they did not want to be viewed as a sexual object. They wanted their boobs out because they didn't want to be – okay, let's take this into concept here. If I don't see your boobs as sexual, then I'm not attracted to you. Then I don't want to have sex with you. How do we keep the race and the planet alive if we don't want to have sex –
How did we get tits in the first place? That we were bent over and everyone and your fellow lady was judged by her ass because we were chimps. And then we started walking erect and all of a sudden men weren't interested because you're staring at this thing and that, where'd your ass go? And so they started evolution, rewarded those who had sort of an assy chest. And the next thing you know, you're growing an ass on your chest. It was created for men to be horny four, and it worked. And now there's 7 billion of us, and you're going, no, I don't want you to be horny anymore. And you go, well, you better want me to be horny, because that's why I'm here, and that's why you're here.
Yeah, that's what keeps the human race alive.
Yeah, they say drunk sex is rape, whether even if one or both are rape are drunk. And you're like, I bet if you chopped drunk sex out of America, Britain, Europe's population, we'd be down to like probably a third.
Look
how many of us are born after New Year's Eve.
You know what,
or Halloween.
Political correctness has done to me? It's destroyed my love or the ability to love old movies. I noticed this the other day. I watch older movies and I go, oh my God, they could never get away with that now. Instead of just enjoying the movie, all I can think about is how wrong this Dean Martin movie is.
Like the Bad News Bears, where Walter Matthau is so shit-faced he passes out in the middle of a game and all the kids just have to make their own way home.
And how horrible is that? Why would you make a movie? Think of all the stuff that would never get made now.
If you were coaching a little league team and you fell asleep on the pitch with a beer in your hand, your wife would leave you. You'd be a pariah. I mean, if you drunkenly mumble the N-word in a bar, it could be the end of your career, the end of your life. You know, you'd get divorced.
Right.
It is frustrating. You know what I've been doing these days? I've been interviewed by a lot of women and feminists and they're, I guess, because I'm becoming the authority on sexism, and the interview is always boring too, because they're like, I know a woman who's Janet Jackson is 50 and she had a baby, ergo, everyone is perpetually fertile, or you know, there was a Green Beret who was a woman who can do a backflip, ergo, we're all super strong, you know, stuff I don't have time to explain to anyone.
Like so one makes it all.
Yeah, they're consumed with anecdotal evidence. And you think women shouldn't be allowed to work? They should be forced to be in the kitchen? And I'm like, not only do I not think that, no one thinks that. Maybe Sharia law thinks that. All I'm saying is most would be happier there. But I don't want the Gestapo to go in ripping women away from their desks and locking them in the kitchen, you fool. So instead of doing all that, I just start asking about their own lives, and I find out they're, you know, 34 in New York City, and they're single, and they just got dumped by some guy. And you realize they personify the problem I'm talking about. They are getting taken advantage of. And you're watching, you're talking to a woman who thinks she's an empowered feminist, and you realize you're talking to someone who's had feminism ruin their lives. Their ovaries have dried up. You know they're lonely. They're about to realize what's going on and be unable to turn back the clock. And then you go, and look at your job. You're interviewing me for what? For a blog, for a newspaper? Probably make 40 grand a year at this at best. You're throwing away 250,000 years of evolution so you can write an article? I mean, as I keep saying, they're never oncologists. They're always marketing people or something. It's that makes the conversation interesting.
They're vloggers.
They're vloggers. That's the way a man – like once you're married and you're not trying to fuck them anymore, I think the only interesting thing to do with women is to talk about their plan, because none of them have a plan. They're always like, I'm just going to keep partying and have my career and I'm going to be independent. And you go, no, we're not doing that. Look, 25, you need to stop dating musicians. You need to stop dating comedians. Sorry, Steve.
That's okay.
They're going to cheat on you. You need someone who's ambitious. I always suggest expats, like a Canadian or a British or an Australian who flew here that shows he's tenacious. What time does he get up at on Monday? 9 a.m.? Okay, good. I don't care how dumb his job is, but if he's getting up early on a Monday, then he's your guy. I don't know. That's a lot more fun than getting into the semantics of economics, because only a tiny fraction of them really know what they're talking about. And that includes the experts I'm on TV with. Like I was with this woman. She used to be, I don't know, a political advisor to Clinton or something. And she's telling me that men are stupid. What? All 3.5 billion of them?
And if they are, it's only because you've been doing it to them.
And you want to get into IQ and gender? Do you know about the way it works with men, for the record, is we have more idiots and more geniuses. We just have a wider spread than they do for whatever reason. I don't know. I guess because we don't create life inside us so we can have more variety of types of guys. They need a very specific thing because they're making a very specific thing. But anyway, rather than get into all that with someone who hasn't even looked it up, I'd rather just talk about trying to get them hooked up with someone, because ultimately that matters so much more. Well, go make a baby, bitch.
Don't you feel like a lot of the social justice warrior lady women, they're the same people that were bar girls. I've looked at it this way. You know, when you see these people that were like they were hot in their 20s and now they're in their 40s, but they're still hanging out at the same bar and they're never going to get a guy because now all men suck and they've already dated everything at the bar. It's the same.
Well, that goes back. That goes back to my theory about them not really wanting what they're saying, not really meaning it. Because I remember being a single man, and every time I would fuck a feminist, they just demanded abuse. I mean, Jesus Christ, the things I would do to them, they still make me shudder. It was shocking. If it was ever on video, I would be on death row right now. But that's the way it was with them. You know, the adjusted ones, they wanted normal intercourse, but the feminist always wanted to be abused. And I remember as a young punk rocker, there were these feminists. One of them was named Penny, and these two girls sort of dominated the anarcho-feminist scene. That's another good thing, by the way, about growing up punk is you've already seen all this happen before. And I remember they would get picked – one of them would get picked up after our anarchist conference workshops about equality, and it was some biker would pick her up, and she'd hop on the back, and he'd disappear. And you know, I remember thinking as a 19-year-old, they never talk about politics. He just tells her to shut up and fucks her and drinks a beer. They go out and grab a burger, and then he drops her off at her stupid political thing that he's never even listened to once. And that's true of I think, most of womankind deep down.
They want what they can't have, and and when they what they do have, they want to get rid of.
Well, Dante Nero, he's a comedian I have on my show a lot, and he does an advice show called The Beige Phillips Show that everyone should check out. But he goes, the thing about relationships and marriage, too, is women get in this relationship, and then they want to make – they want to change you. So they keep chipping away at who you are and making you less and less of who they are when they met you. And then they once they deball you and get you down to something you're not, then they dump you and go out with someone else who was like you when you were the original guy.
Yeah.
You're constantly drawing a line in the sand with relationships.
Well, I do a thing in my act about how women see us as an HGTV project. That's what they see us as. You know, they meet you and they go, oh, he's got a job? That's the bones of a good house. You know, it's that kind of thing. And then they're like, right. you know, you could get LASIK and get rid of your glasses. You could grow a beard out. They're very popular. You could get rid of all your friends. I hate them. And then they go, you're not the man I married. I know. You changed everything about me. You created me, Dr. Frankenstein.
It's so true. And you see it with wolves, too. If you're an alpha wolf, you have to fight every single day, beating up all the young up-and-comers who want to take over the alpha. And when you beat them up, the wolf subliminally goes, good. I was checking on the alpha, and it turns out that he's in total control here, and everything is as it should be. And I feel like it's the same way with women and liberals and everyone else. They go, we're going to attack the patriarchy. We're going to try to shut down Christmas. Oh, it didn't get shut down? Okay, good. Good. They know what they're doing. I mean, you know, if you had a pet wolf, he would attack you, right?
Yeah, like eventually, at some point.
If you had a pet wolf, every day you'd have to be looking over your shoulder because he's thinking about biting your neck. And that's the sort of the culture we're in right now, where we've got these fucking stupid wolves behind us just waiting to sink their teeth in our neck. We keep having to kick them.
Well, we have this thing here in Colorado. They changed Columbus Day to Indigenous Peoples Day. I don't know if you heard that. They actually did. They went ahead and changed it. It's Indigenous People Day. And I wrote this thing about why give it back? I mean, I don't understand. Isn't that the spoils of war? You know, they're all like the
– Yeah, and who else? Do we give Japan back to the Ainu? When does it end?
Well, that's
your massive, your incredible time machine. I always say to those people, what's your version of events?
Well, that's what I told this guy. I got into an argument with an American Indian who called me a white mutt. And I go, well, you know, because you're supposed to call names because that's a liberal thing to do. You're right.
Right.
And I said, okay, well, who had it before you? Cavemen? Dinosaurs had it before? What primordial ooze creature? Who had it before you? Before you, I go, the only thing we have learned from this is that you probably should have built a wall and stopped people from coming in and disrespecting your culture and way of life.
Well, they did. And they, you know what? They were the adversaries. It was for my kids are Indian, and that's what I'll tell them is we fought you for 400 years, and eventually we eked out a victory. We fought the Nazis for an hour and a half.
True. Yeah, those, you know, that's what I said. They're great warriors and fighters, but they were fighting each other. Tribes were fighting each other.
Right. Right. Yeah, we wiped out Japan with a couple bombs. That was easy. I don't ever want to go back to fighting the Indians. That was a nightmare.
Nightmare.
You're never safe.
I can't imagine in this day and age watching TV and having your house surrounded.
Oh, it must have been so stressful, too. You're in that cottage. You survived the winter, and you go, all right, we have some crops here. I'm feeling pretty safe. Oh, tomahawk in the head. Fuck.
Exactly. Can you imagine living like that, trying to live out on the plain somewhere, eking out a life?
No wonder their lifespan was so short. They were stressed out. But this is the history of civilization. You know, 400 years ago, I'm sure Columbus was a barbarian. It was barbaric. It was savage. The whole world sucked. But at the end of the day, we're here now in 2016. We're in the best country in the world, the best culture in the world. So why do you want to reverse it? Why are you want me to go back and just start handing over land to other people, trying to take down all these Confederate statues and whitewash our history? I like all the ugliness of history. That's what makes it interesting.
Well, that makes you not want to revisit it. Isn't that the part of learning from history, is you learn from it and move forward, not let's go back to that day. It's what I don't understand now with people wanting to do segregated safe spaces or segregated schools, or didn't we fight to not be that?
Yeah, well, you end up – that's exactly what happens when you hand them the keys to the city, right? It's like giving a kid the keys to the car. He just crashes it. So now when my kids ask me if I can drive, I say no, and I feel the same way about these liberals. You want to take over the patriarchy? No, you would crash it. Hey, Steve, I got to go. I got to get ready for this other one.
All right. Well, I'm glad you did it. We'll do it again sometime, and I'll tell everybody how to find you and your podcast and on Anthony's stuff and everything. So,
right on, buddy.
Thanks for doing the show. I appreciate it.
Hey, I like you more than a friend.
I appreciate that, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
See you, man. And there goes today's guest, Gavin McInnes. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Always fun to do. It's always fun to talk to Gavin and find out his take on the world and the people within it. If you get a chance, share this podcast with all your friends. It's the only way we're going to make this thing grow, and it's the only way to help people find out about Gavin. If you're new to finding out, discovering Gavin and need more information, Google Gavin McInnes. That's what I always tell. It's easier to Google than to say you'll find him on this channel, or he's got this U channel, he's done that. Gavin has done so much stuff. The best way is Google. And enjoy. Same thing I say for me. People always go, well, how do we find more of you, Steve, and your comedy? Google Steve McGrew, and you will find my stand-up and the YouTube channel that we do, Wrinkled Sheets. And, yeah, that's it. So until next time, guys, thanks for listening. God bless America. Go listen to some Oak Ridge Boys. I bid you adieu.
And trucks and stooges, three men and boys, and that doesn't sound right. He thinks about boobs and bacon and power tools. Come with me, let your mask you leave. Oh, won't you come with me and remind